Well, I'm conscious we're still at the beginning of a new year, and I thought that over the next couple of weeks we might look at two psalms that I hope will encourage us and help us, guide us, direct us for that new year. The first two psalms in the book of Psalms, and we're going to think on one of them this morning, and Susan's going to come and read that for us.
Today's reading is from Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Amen.
Well, I also wanted to read today some words from Jeremiah. This is Jeremiah speaking to the wayward people of Israel, of Judah, who keep wandering away from God. And you'll hear in his words here echoes of that psalm that we read a moment ago. This is Jeremiah 17 and reading from verse 5. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. He will be like a bush in the wastelands. He will not see prosperity when it comes. He will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve. Amen. And again, may God bless to us the reading of his word. Well, somebody on Thursday of this week, 7th of January, sent me a meme. You know what a meme is? One of these images with a humorous caption that does the rounds on social media. And this particular one had a picture of what I think was Kermit the Frog leaning against the base of a lamppost or a statue, and it read like this. I'd like to cancel my subscription to 2021. I've experienced the free 7-day trial, and I'm not interested. Now, you could understand why that was sent. We're only just into the year, and already we've had a raft of new restrictions in lockdown, which has impacted here, obviously. And then even more than that, there was these worrying, frightening, outrageous scenes at Capitol Hill in Washington. And if you and I had hoped that with the turn of a new year, we might leave some of the darkness, the difficulties of 2020 behind us, well, the signs were not good, were they? Now, again, I don't know how all this has impacted you or what you're anticipating for this coming year. What I do know is that however dark or difficult circumstances or situations have been in life, Christians have often gone for help and encouragement in such situations to the book of Psalms, which was, of course, the songbook of the Old Testament and, significantly, Jesus' songbook. Here we see God's people people expressing their faith in every conceivable situation through prayer, praise, petition, every conceivable situation, including the bleakest. Now, we're not going to look at any one of those psalms that's particularly set in a bleak situation, but rather I want to do this. If you can imagine the book of Psalms as being like multiple rooms in some kind of great mansion house, many commentators believe that Psalms 1 and 2, the first two psalms, serve as the kind of entrance vestibule in that mansion house. So you've gone through the front door. You've opened the book of Psalms. And as you read Psalms 1 and 2, then you're standing in that entrance vestibule. And they are preparing you for all that lies ahead behind these different rooms in front of you. They give you a context, a framework for hearing and understanding what lies behind those doors. Or, if I can mix my metaphors, they indicate the foundations for the life of faith that will be expressed in the Psalms that follow. And in particular, these two opening Psalms from different and but related perspectives, they give us a portrait, among other things, they give us a portrait of the man, the woman of faith, the one who enjoys the blessing, the favor of God Almighty. You'll notice how Psalm 1 opened. It opens with the words, "Blessed is the man." And if you've got your Bible open there, if you have a look at the end of Psalm 2, you'll notice how it ends. "Blessed are those." Again, both Psalms, beginning, end, are telling you where true blessing lies in this world. And in Psalm 1, it's about roots. It's about roots. Where your life in this world is rooted. And in Psalm 2, it's about rule. Who or what rules your life in this world? So Psalm 1 asks you the question, where is your life rooted? Psalm 2 asks you the question, who or what rules your life? And in Psalm 1, the blessed person is the one who is whose life is rooted in Yahweh, the Lord, and His word, His law. In Psalm 2, the blessed person is the one who has placed their life under the rule of God and His anointed Son and King. And this morning, our focus is on Psalm 1. So we're thinking about roots here. And in particular, we're thinking about this picture in verse 3 of that blessed person being like a tree planted by streams of water, which, as you will have heard there, is a picture that Jeremiah picks up in chapter 17 of his prophecy. And now listen, as you read Psalm 1 in particular, and approaching that psalm, you might well read that psalm, that description in the opening verses of the blessed person, and think to yourself, I'm not sure that's me. Do you hear the words, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. I mean, you read that, I read that, and I ask myself, which of us can say that we have always closed our ears to the ideas and the suggestions of godless or God-resistant thinking? Which of us can say we've never followed the wrong crowd? Or to think of it more positively, how many of us can say that not only are we prepared to listen to or to read or to do God's word, but that we actually delight in it? Or we meditate on it day and night? That's a high threshold, isn't it? And actually, the minute you think about that, there's only one person who has ever met completely and consistently in their life that threshold. And that's the Lord Jesus. That's Jesus, the Word made flesh that we were thinking about a couple of Sundays ago. That's why he came, that he might fulfill what we had failed to fulfill, that he might obey where we had disobeyed, that he might delight in obedience to God where we were reluctant and resistant. You know, I must admit, at the end of last year, 2020, towards that, I was thinking about this psalm, Psalm 1, and I was thinking of Jesus as a young Jewish boy reading this psalm as he would have done. This was his songbook. Thinking of him reading those opening verses and everything in his heart aspiring to be that man, that person, that blessed person, but not only aspiring to that, but everything rather in his life at that point and in his life to come, indicating that he was that man, that blessed person. And you see that, don't you? You see that in practice, in that one incident of his childhood that's recorded for us in Luke's Gospel, when he was a 12-year-old boy at the end of the Passover celebrations, when he'd gone up with his family to Jerusalem and everyone, including Mary and Joseph, were heading for home. Jesus chooses to remain in the temple, sitting with the teachers of God's law, God's word open, and he's listening. And he's imbibing it, and he's discussing it, he's loving it. The law of God, not simply at that moment entering his mind, but the law of God written fully on his heart and all over his life, displayed perfectly, even at that point, in every aspect of his life. His life perfectly, completely rooted in God and his word. And so please, I want us to recognize right at the beginning that Jesus is the ultimate and true blessed man, blessed person of Psalm 1. And with that, of course, inevitably to recognize that you and I, all of us, fall short. We by nature are not that person. By nature, I think if we're honest about ourselves, we don't delight in God or his word. By nature, we are reluctant. We are resistant, we are rebellious against God. But I think in the psalm, actually, there's a clue as to how people like you and me can enter into the blessing of which the psalm speaks, begin to become that blessed person. If you notice in the picture of verse 3 and in Jeremiah 17 and 8 as well, both describe the blessed person as being like a tree planted by streams of water. But more literally, that word planted means transplanted. Transplanted. Now, if you've got a garden, you know exactly what we're talking about here. You've probably done that. You've moved some shrub or flower or even tree from the location where you found it to another location where you want it to be. And that's the picture to get hold of here. The implication of the psalmist using that word planted, or really transplanted, the implication of that word which is used here in Psalm 1 and 3 and in Jeremiah 17 and 8 is that the blessed man or the blessed woman is someone who has been transplanted from their original location, their natural location, to this new location by streams of life-giving water. So what does that mean? What does that involve? What does that look like? Well, think about the two types of people that are contrasted in both Psalm 1 and Jeremiah 17. You've got the contrast between the blessed and the wicked in Psalm 1. The parallel contrast in Jeremiah 17 between the blessed and the cursed. Now, the problem we have, I think, in Psalm 1 is that the minute we hear that word wicked, we immediately think of people doing terrible things. But that would be a mistake. And that's where I think the description of those who are cursed in Jeremiah is particularly helpful. Look at the contrast in Jeremiah, the cursed verse 5. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. But blessed, verse 7, is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him, or whose trust is the Lord. There's the real contrast there between the blessed and the cursed, between the blessed and the wicked. Ultimately, it's about where you place your faith, your trust. Now, I find that significant because, you know, our world often uses faith as a means of dividing or categorizing people. You know how folk do that. You know, they talk about people of faith. So someone, for example, will look at a practicing, a profession Christian and say, oh, you are a person of faith. And they'll then say of themselves, but I'm not. I'm a person of reason or science or some such thing. But actually, Jeremiah is saying to us, no, that's not true. We're all people of faith. There is no human being who is not a person of faith or trust. The question always is who or what are you putting your faith, your trust in? And ultimately, according to both the psalm and particularly explicitly in Jeremiah, there's only two choices. You either trust yourself or you trust God, the Lord. Or again, to express it in the terms of the picture of the tree, your life is either rooted in man, in flesh, as Jeremiah puts it. In other words, in yourself, your wisdom, your work, your way. Or your life is rooted in the Lord, his word, his wisdom, his work, his way. Again, just look at the picture of the blessed person as being like a tree. And particularly look at it as it's expressed in Jeremiah as being like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. Now in your mind's eye, you can picture that, can't you? You can see the roots of that tree under the ground, under the soil, stretching out towards the stream, drawing its life, its growth, its sustenance from that stream and its life-giving properties, drawing its life, its source, its sustenance from outside itself. That's the blessed person. That's the Christian, looking beyond themselves, outside themselves, to God, to his Son, to his wisdom, to his work, to his word. And so that's why Paul, for example, says to Christians in Colossians 2, 6 and 7, so then, he says to them, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him. Looking to him, trusting yourself to him, drawing the resources you need for life in him. Whereas you see, in contrast to that, the primary characteristic of the cursed, the wicked, they trust in man, says Jeremiah. They trust in flesh. They depend on themselves for their strength. They turn away from the Lord. Ultimately, they never look beyond themselves. Now, it's important to say, I think, you can do that. You can do that you can live that way. You can do that in a secular and overtly godless manner. You can, rejecting anything to do with God, ignoring and dismissing the Bible as untrue, irrelevant, because you believe that you know better. You can do it in a secular, irreligious way, but you can also do that in a religious manner. Like the Pharisee, for example, in Jesus' famous parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. You remember the Pharisee who said, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all I get. And you just listen to that and you hear all the I's in those statements. And I know he's in the temple. I know he's in a religious place. I know he's in a, as it were, a religious posture. I know he's praying. He's speaking to God. He's praying to God, but he's trusting in himself, in his flesh, in what he is, in what he does. He thinks he's great. He thinks he's godly. Whereas, in fact, according to Jeremiah 17, he's cursed. According to Psalm 1, he's wicked. And according to Jesus in that parable, he's unacceptable to God. So when you get that, you see, here's our great need. Here's our great, our ultimate human need. It's to be lifted out of ourselves, out of that self-centered soil, which we were all by nature born into following Genesis 3 and the fall, and to be transplanted by grace into God, into Christ. And listen again to Paul. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him. Rooted in Christ, trusting him, his word, his work, his wisdom, drawing what you need from him, all that he is, all that he has done, turning your back and what you are and what you have done to him. Transplanted. And I just want to ask you, has that happened to you? As you come into 2021, where are you? Where are you and your life rooted? In yourself or in Christ? And it makes all the difference. You see, look at the blessed person, the one who's rooted in God, in his son Jesus. Verse 3 of Psalm 1, he's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither, whatever he does prospers. Or Jeremiah 17:8, he'll be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Again, you've got to remember, both the Psalm and Jeremiah, they're written in a Middle Eastern context where there is no, where there was no, where there is no plentiful supply of rain, where the great threat to life of any tree, of any plant, of any shrub is heat and drought. And of course, in such an arid environment, that's the significance of being placed, of being transplanted by a stream of water. Because there you've got a constant supply. There you don't need to fear the heat. You don't need to fear the year of drought. And again, as we saw last week, actually, this picture implies that heat will come, drought will come. Indeed, that being rooted in God, being rooted in Christ, that doesn't protect you from affliction, from hardship, from the drought of that, from the heat of that. But it means that when such threats come, you have in God, in Christ, you have one who will supply you with the resources to sustain you and bring you through that. You have, in the words of John Newton in one of his great hymns, you have in Jesus a never-failing treasury filled with boundless stores of grace. And where you see that in a life, that speaks. It makes a difference. I was quoting last week Robert Murray McShane, whose relatively brief life and ministry in Dundee in the mid-19th century had such an impact on so many for Christ, and indeed still has an impact. But in his younger days, McShane, though he was brought up in a church-going family and went through the outward motion of Christian devotion, McShane was characterized by what he would later describe as lifeless morality. That was his own description of himself later on. He was a stranger to Christ. And he had an older brother, David, I think, who was about 9 years older than him, and whom he loved and admired. And David sought to encourage the young robber, as it were. And McShane says, he gave me a Bible and persuaded me to read it. He tried to train me as a gardener trains the apple tree upon the wall, but all in vain. I thought myself wiser than he and would always take my own way. You hear what he's saying there? However outwardly religious McShane was at that stage, he was still trusting himself. I thought myself wiser than he, and clearly wiser than the Bible itself. He was still rooted, as it were, in himself. But then David, his brother, took ill. An illness which plunged him, David, into deep struggles of mind and heart and spirit. But when he actually came to the point of death, both McShane and his family noted that David faced death with peace and assurance in Christ. Andrew Bonar, in his biography of McShane, says, "Joy from the face of a fully reconciled father lit up his, David's, face in death." In other words, Robert McShane saw that his brother David had found resources through faith in Jesus that enabled him to face the searing heat of death without fear, and it impressed him deeply. In fact, 11 years later, on the anniversary of his brother David's death, McShane wrote in his diary, "This day, 11 years ago, I lost my loved and loving brother and began to seek a brother who cannot die." He meant, of course, Jesus Christ. And McShane was, by grace, transplanted then from a life trusting self to a life trusting Christ, rooted in Christ. And if you know his story, went on to bear much fruit in that life. And indeed, even through his death, he became a tree planted by water that flourished, that prospered. Or again, let me give you another example. Take these words from Johnny Erickson, who has known since she was 17 all the restrictions, all the frustrations of facing life in a wheelchair, paralyzed from the neck down, and she's now 71, 50 plus years. This is what she says: "I'm no expert at being disabled. It's hard, it's inconvenient. Every morning when my helpers come to get me up, I take a deep breath and I pray, 'Okay, Lord, show up for me big time. I need you, Jesus, very much today.' It's a daily, hard fought for, desperate pulling down of grace from heaven. But," she says, "we must learn to turn to God in all circumstances and say, 'I can do things only through your strengthening power. So help me, Lord, and strengthen me for every minute, for every second.'" That's how she lives. You can hear the roots of her life reaching out to draw resources from God, from Christ, to deal with all that her disability brings. Or think of that prayer I quoted at the Watch Night service of Dietrich Bonhoeffer celebrating Christmas in a Nazi prison cell and praying to the Lord and saying to him, I love these words. He said, "In me there is darkness, but there is light in you. I'm lonely, but you don't leave me. I'm feeble in heart, but you do not leave me. I am restless, but there is peace in you. In me there is bitterness, but with you there is patience. Again, you can hear Bonhoeffer drawing all he needs from who God is, who Jesus is, and all he's done. Rooted in Christ. And yet, and this is one last thing really, being rooted in Christ, it's not just about receiving resources for getting through the trials of life or even death actually. Ultimately, it's about resources for bringing you through the judgment of God on the last day. Because did you notice that having described the life of the blessed person, trusting the Lord, rooted as it were in Christ, the psalmist describes the fate of those who are rooted in themselves, who trust in themselves, with no roots beyond themselves, no resources beyond themselves. Verse 4 of the psalm, the wicked, they're like chaff which the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment. Verse 6, the way of the wicked will perish. I don't know, does anybody think on that these days? But we must think on that. It's not just about how we will face the drought or the heat of 2021, but how can we possibly stand when we're called beyond death to appear before our God and Maker as our judge? Verse 10 of Jeremiah 17, I, the Lord, search the heart, examine the mind to reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve. How will we stand then? And you see, it's on that day that every one of us will see clearly that the only person who will stand then is the one who in their life now has been rooted in Christ, trusting not in themselves or their deeds, but in Him, His life, His death, where He bore our curse, where He took our judgment upon our sins. So important we seek Him and receive Him now, so that we can stand in Him then. Do that. If you haven't done that, do that. Receive Him as your Savior, as your Lord. Root your life by grace in Him. And if you have done that, then as Paul says, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him. Well, let's pray, shall we? Let us pray together. Our Father, there's so much to think about here, so much to process. We pray that as your word has searched us, Lord, we remember it's also pointed us to your Son. We thank you, Lord, that you are like a great surgeon. You diagnose the condition and you don't hold anything back in that diagnosis. But it's only ultimately so that you might heal, so that you might restore, so that you might point us to the one who is the great physician, to the Lord Jesus himself, to the one who bore our curse, to the one who paid for our disobedience, for all our failure. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the Savior that you are, and may we, as we look into the future and beyond the immediate future, into eternity, may we face all that lies ahead, rooted and built up in you. Help us to live in you, to trust ourselves to you. We ask in your name and for your sake. Amen.